a time of prayer in just a moment. I was contemplating some of the words that Jesus didn't say. I was just intrigued to find that there's no mention of, I'm going to have a day off, or I can't be bothered, or perhaps somebody else could do that. And if you think of the things that we hear and the excuses we have, I'm too tired. And yet, you never find words like that. The nearest you get to it is, if it's possible, take this cup from me. But you never find words, Jesus saying, that sometimes we hear as excuses today. Certainly we don't see, oh, I won't watch that on telly, do we? But it's interesting to note the things that are not said as well as the things that are said. And that shows that the person we follow is quite something. Let's just pray. I gather yesterday, although I missed out on it, it was a day of prayer for our nation. Obviously, every day should be a day of prayer for our nation, but it does seem to be in a bit of a muddle. And we need to pray. So let's pray about our country and maybe other issues, but also just to give thanks for who God is. Psalm 126, a familiar psalm, and one that we can look at. When the Lord brought back the captives to Zion, we were like men who dreamed. Our mouths were filled with laughter, our tongues with songs of joy. And then it was said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us, and we are filled with joy. Restore our fortunes, O Lord, like streams in the Negev. Those who sow in tears will reap with songs of joy. He who goes out weeping, carrying seed to sow, will return with songs of joy, carrying sheaves with him. Let's just commit this. Lord, we pray that you would speak to us through your word. Thank you that you do that constantly and that you want to do that. May whatever you wish to say to us tonight be heard and acted upon. In your name, amen. Subject of joy. Joy is quite close to my heart. My wife's middle name is Joy. Our daughter's middle name is Joy. And I'm sure you've heard the synonym or whatever it's called of Jesus first, others second, and yourself last. And that's a good recipe for joy. Jesus first, others second, yourself last. Joy, it will come about if you have that mantra, if you like, and put it into practice. Joy is defined as extreme gladness. It's not something that you can easily take hold of like a bar of chocolate. But you might have joy because you take hold of a bar of chocolate. I certainly would, and I know one or two others here would as well. It may be a result of 50 years of marriage you have joy. But joy is something that we long for. And for me, it's something that is sadly missing in the world today. There is a need for lots of things. But boy, is there a need for some joy in this world and in our country. Would you agree with that? Good. Now, many years ago, I remember seeing a person whom I happen to know quite well now. And I knew he was a Christian. He didn't belong to the fellowship that I was involved in, but I do know him quite well. And I thought to myself, I really hope I don't look like that. Because he looked so miserable. Now, I have no idea in his heart whether he was miserable or not. And sometimes we can portray with our faces a state of things that is not actually in our heart, although it should be. But I thought, oh, I hope I'm not like that and behave like that, because that is not a good example for a Christian to portray. And strangely enough, we've had some people who have been nicknamed Christian folks, good Christian folks, and they unbeknown to them, they got nicknamed the Glums. Because I'm sure in their hearts they are absolutely at one and at peace. But whenever people used to see them, they looked as though, you know, something nasty had happened. And they were not portrayed in that way. And joy is something that we should have, joy and gladness. We've read about it in that that psalm, and we can read about it and hear about it in various places. And we know joy is evident in the Christian life. Can you remember a group called the Joy Strings a long time ago? Salvation Army band? They were Joy Strings. You can think of songs with joy in it. I remember singing quite often, probably with Cliff back in those days, you know, I've got the joy, joy, joy down in my heart. Where? Down in my heart. And we used to sing that quite often. Can you think of other songs with joy in it?
Joy to the world.
Joy to the world? Great. We won't ask you to sing it, Fred. You're okay. Any other songs with joy in? There you go, another one. You see, it's good, isn't it? Get you going. There's probably a few more in there as well that we can. I don't know that one. I could get.
Jesus, come into your heart.
There you go. But there's some songs about with joy in. And we need ones with joy in. Joy is an important part of the Christian life. If we're telling people that we have this wonderful gift, then we should be portraying it in various ways in our demeanor. It's a fruit of the Spirit, we know that, but it's a gift of God. Galatians 5 tells us it's a fruit, love, joy, peace, etc. It should be something that emanates from us. It's an outcome of the Holy Spirit working within us. Famous writers have written about it on many occasions, some about intimate relationships, but some about all sorts of areas. There's a book, you've probably read it, you've heard of it, Surprised by Joy by C.S. Lewis, if you haven't read it, it's worth a read. I was going to try and bring it along tonight, but I can't find it, so I must have lent it to somebody and not got it back. That's the usual story, isn't it? But we can always get another one through Amazon, nice and cheap. But Surprised by Joy. And C.S. Lewis says that true joy is nurturing a deep longing for God and encourages us to spend time in the secret place, the quiet place, time alone, which is not always easy to do. But he tells us that's the real place where you can find true joy in nurturing a deep longing for God. An interesting man who wrote all sorts of things. We know he's the author of the Narnia series. And you probably know too that he was a reluctant convert. In 1929, when he was at university, he gave in and admitted that God was God. He knelt and prayed. And perhaps that night, he says, he was the most dejected and reluctant convert in all England. And he was indeed surprised by joy. Hence he wrote that book as he became and grew in the Christian faith. And we have a lot to be grateful for him. Other people. Martin Lloyd-Jones, the doctor. His wonderful book, Joy Unspeakable. He writes about that. And that book surprised many people. Being seen as quite a reformed man. This book is a book about joy unspeakable, as it says, but it's about being filled with the Holy Spirit. And some people were surprised at the stance that Martin Lloyd-Jones took on that. But it's a real good book to look at and shows for each of us the need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You can argue about how that comes about, but we still need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Do you and I have true joy? We know, and we've heard in our prayers, in moments of sadness and pain, we know that people suffer with illness, with loss of loved ones, with broken relationships, maybe even money issues, maybe concerns about what job to do, what in fact people are being called to do. And there may be times when we are really struggling, but underneath it, do we have true joy in our lives? And I would encourage everyone here that we should have true joy, even in the most difficult of circumstances, When there are problems, true joy should shine through. I'm going to put you through a test now. Hope you're ready for a test. You've heard of the Richter scale. Some people, geographers, will know all about the Richter scale. But we're going to have a happiness scale. So on a scale of 1 to 10, you don't have to put your hands up, you don't have to write it down. On a scale of 1 to 10, you know, if you've just passed your driving test, your joy might be rather high. If you've just failed your driving test, your joy might be rather low. But on a general level, how would you rate yourself in the area of joy on a scale of 1 to 10? You don't have to say. Just think about it. 6, 7, 8, 9. And then, once you've got that worked out, then think, how would somebody else rate me? It could be a loved one of many years. It could be a friend or acquaintance. It could be me, like looking at that gentleman that I said about earlier, because my rating of his joy was certainly not very high. He might have rated himself quite highly. But we need to rate ourselves and have ourselves rated in the sense that we should exude joy. We could carry on a bit and do all sorts of things, but we'll come back in a minute to the chapter that we're looking at. We should be like Ezra in Nehemiah and saying, "The joy of the Lord is my strength," even though he was going through difficulties. You can read about that in Nehemiah. So joy. Now, we've gone through a recent Christmas period, and people are supposedly all more joyful at that time. You know, they're only not so joyful now when they get the credit card bills coming through, which is quite a difficult time for some people when they've spent over Christmas far and above what they could afford, and now they're getting the comeback. But you remember at Christmas with the shepherds, they were in the field. What happened to them? They had a certain visitor, didn't they? A certain visitor who was an angel. And I love angels because they always start off with, "Do not be afraid." And I'm glad they do that, because I think they would probably cause us to be wondering what on earth they were like. But in Luke, the angel there records saying, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great," which will be for all the people. So we have this wonderful good news. Jesus is good news of great joy for all the people. That's got to be something that we're happy to share and pass it around. The early church certainly did. Joy was evident because the believers met together with glad and sincere hearts. Joy was evident, even though they were having their moments of difficulty, people occasionally being crucified upside down, heads being chopped off in prison, but joy was still evident. We as individuals should show joy, as well as the church showing joy to the world around us. And this psalm helps me to think about joy. You might get joy because you've passed a TB test. You might get joy because you've done something rather exciting, a healing perhaps, or a job's come out, or something special. But we should have joy within our lives. And this little chapter here helps me in terms of joy. So let's just briefly look at it. Let's briefly just look at this passage here. Probably written about the Jews when they came back from exile in Babylon. We're not quite sure about that, but it seems to fit that they would have been returning. But it certainly would have been that they returned and were very happy about returning from whatever deliverance it was. Spurgeon says, "The captivity was great, and great was the deliverance." It was around probably the time of Ezra and Nehemiah, and my dear friend Haggai, whose little book I love and I think is great. And there was unbelievable joy being shown to the world around because of what had happened. None are so happy as those who are newly returned from captivity. None can more promptly give a reason for their gladness. So says Spurgeon as well. Somebody who had something special happen is so joyful that they're willing to pass it on. And we too should be like that. I remember one stint when I was in hospital, having a minor knee thing, but the ward was closed because of some infection in the hospital. So you couldn't have any visitors, so nobody could come in. I was only there for a week. It seemed like years. There were four in the ward. Two of the people in the ward were not really with it. So there was only one person I could communicate with. And we got to know each other quite well over a period of time and sort of run out of things to say. But I was so joyful when I got out of there. You know, and you can have food and have a enjoy the scenery, have a hug and all that sort of stuff. Things that I had missed. And you're really joyful because of having something taken away. Perhaps when you've had an injury and you can get back from an injury. When you've had something taken away and you have it restored, you are very happy indeed. And so we need to be aware of that. These people were captives and they were people who returned to their homeland. And they were like men who dreamed because of what had happened. They were so joyful. They were almost like the Leicester City supporters of a couple of seasons ago when they won the Premier League, when nobody expected them to do it. They were so happy. And so here we have a little bit that tells us again of another psalm. Restore unto me the joy of my salvation. And we should have that showing forward from our lives. Remember the joy when you first realized that Christ had paid for your sin upon a cross. Remember that joy and how that infected your behavior. And that should be for us each day. Maybe it's not, we've become familiar. But the result should be that joy is passing through us. And it was also said here, the people were filled with joy. Obviously, joy, laughter, songs. But it was said among the nations. And this is people outside of that group of people. The Lord has done great things for them. Next bit says it's done great things for us. But it says here, the Lord has done great things for them. That should be our witness to those people who are outside the kingdom. They should look and say, the Lord has done great things for each one of us. Other people were recognizing what God had done in restoring the Jews to their homeland. And we should be like that because that should be part of our lifestyle. We've been set free. We've been restored. We've been set free. These were set free from Egypt. We've been set free from captivity of sin. And that should be showing in our lives, hopefully. Sadness turned to joy. We need to show that in all that we do. Those in the second part were probably those people who were still in captivity, not yet returning to the promised land. But these folks were warned, well, not warned, but encouraged that if they sow in tears, then they would come back in joy and they would sow with seeds and they would come back with sheaves. So things would grow. Things are hard. We know that. We know it's not always a bed of roses being a Christian. Sometimes things are difficult. And it reminded me of those stories or pictures that you see David Attenborough or whoever it is doing these nature programs in Africa, especially when you see the riverbeds slowly losing all the water and the animals coming round and fighting for that last bit of water. And then as the rains come, how those rivers suddenly fill up again. And how the grass returns and how things are suddenly restored to what it should be. And this is like that, that we should, might be times of trouble, but we should be aware that there will be a time when things will come right again. Paul encourages us because he says that he was sorrowful in one of his letters, but yet he was always rejoicing. Sorrowful, yet rejoicing. And Jesus, we know himself that he was a man of sorrows. And yet he told the disciples that their grief would turn to joy. John, in his first letter, proclaims the good news of Jesus. And he says that is to make our joy complete. So we need to be aware of that. These folks are telling us that we should have that joy within our lives. Peter tells us too in his first letter that though we haven't seen him and we haven't seen Jesus, yet through Jesus we are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. He tells that in his first letter. And Jesus himself wants his joy to be within us in John 15. So that we should have the joy that goes out that the world can see. So joy, an important aspect of our Christian life. How joyful are we? How do we rate on the Richter scale? Help us to see if Jesus is filling us, even though things might be difficult, that we should still have that deep joy within us that is evident to people around. May that be so for you. May that be so for me. And Paul encourages us in Romans, and he says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Spirit. May that be true for each one of us. Amen.